I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., do solemnly swear.
I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign.
We will return to the inauguration of President Kamala Harris. But first, questionable material with Jack and Brian. You're listening to Questionable Material, produced in New York by Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. QMPodcast.com. This is episode number 43.
Okay, so when this idiot connects, I'm not going to see his stupid puffy face. I'm going to see a black rectangle because he has not been able to figure out how to turn on the camera on his laptop. We're going on 5 weeks, maybe six. I lost track. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has no tech savvy whatsoever. No tech savvy, barely a Twitter game. Not even a Twitter game, really. Neither of us have that. Here we go. I'm going to call him now. Okay, jerk. Dummy. Nitwit. Poo-poo head. Hello. How you doing?
Not good. I don't know why I can't hear you.
Do I sound better?
A little better. The picture is finally clearer.
I didn't do any. Oh, so it's your end then.
I don't know.
Are your kids using the internet? Maybe they're
no.
Straining the...
Huh. No.
Is Betsy surfing the web, if you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
I mean, is she looking for pornography?
Oh, I presume so.
So that could tie up some bandwidth and make things look weird.
That could. I mean, she watches the really good, it's this new format, like 6K.
6K, okay, wow. She really likes the definition.
She really wants to see every ridge and every pore.
Every mot and piddle, or what is it? Mott and I forget the expression.
I don't know, but you just excited me a lot.
Wow, Mott. Mm.
Yeah, no. So she's watching some 6K pornography, really, really violent stuff. So that's probably why this connection isn't great.
Could be your weird town that had no electricity for what, 4 days?
Some parts of it for 5+ days. Like, there's still some parts that might not have electricity.
I feel like, Senegal and Mali would have better electrical connections than Dobbs Ferry in Westchester, New York.
Well, yeah. So we lost power for 5 days.
Awesome.
And then back in March, 2 Marches ago, we lost power for over a week. And it was so cold. So we had to live in a hotel for a week. That was fun.
Oh, I remember that. What's up with Dobbs Ferry losing power all the time?
Well, we're on hills and there are trees everywhere. And so the trees are always crashing down. These old trees that have been around for 100 years are come crashing down because they're old, and then just rip out power lines. Just rip them the hell out.
My God. But 5 days to fix them. That's crazy. You know, it's funny.
Yep, it was 5 days.
You sent me that. You sent me the email from your town saying, yes. Hey, power's going to be out for a few days. Sorry, everybody.
Yep.
And I thought I was replying to you. So I wrote something like, so you ain't got no power no more, or something like something really dumb. And and I got a reply from the town supervisor like, that's correct. No power.
That's so funny. I love that it went all the way to the town supervisor.
Yeah. Yeah. I just have a dumb habit of emailing the wrong person.
If I remember correctly, you once accidentally emailed Donald Rumsfeld.
I did. Yeah. I said it's a go on Iraq.
See, that's what were you basing that on?
I was playing Risk with my friends.
And so you accidentally texted the Secretary of Defense?
I did,
about Iraq, which I don't think is on the map of Risk.
It isn't. It isn't. And that's what's so weird about me texting him that. It just seems like it doesn't even belong in the Risk game.
To this Risk game, yeah. Is it true that you eventually won that game by introducing socialism to your opponent's country and having it destroy itself?
Yeah, they destroy themselves from within. And that was part of my grand strategy.
Okay.
So what I did is I fomented rebellion within their borders. And what I did was I stopped educating the children in history. So they thought, oh, here's a great idea. What if, you know, the state takes over control of everything? Because it does such a great job when that happens.
Right.
And I just sat idly by and I was like, oh, no, I sure hope that doesn't happen because then you'll win. And they really pushed for it. And before you know it, they imploded from within.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Good strategy.
That's how to play Risk.
How did you defeat the other guy? You said you pulled off some sort of classic trick.
Yeah. He gathered up all his troops in Kamchatka.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some intel that suggested he was going to come up through Kamchatka, come right into the Western U.S. and really destroy me. So while he was focused on that and he's sitting there working out his strategy, I hit him in the back of the head with a chair. His head hit the table. All the pieces went flying all over the place. Nobody knew. I was like, oh, I think I had West Africa. No, I had West. So total chaos and confusion. It was kind of like akin to like worldwide riotings and chaos. And so ultimately,
because who are you going to believe in terms of who owns Western Africa? Brian, the guy who's not bleeding from his head, or the guy with the head wound?
Yeah, exactly. And he couldn't. He was so incoherent after that. I mean, he couldn't even put a sentence together for a couple of days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was there any lasting damage?
Yeah.
Like, I guess I was more looking for like what the lasting damage was.
Well, I mean, he had always wanted to be a pop star, and instead he went into academia and became a professor of war. So I altered his life dramatically.
Gosh, was he on the pop star track before you hit him on the head with a chair to win a game of Risk?
Yeah, he was in an Irish boy band.
Oh, wow.
Called O Menudo. And it was like, and they had to cycle out as soon as they turned 16 or 17. So he was right on the cusp.
Rules.
So and it was like a Logan's Run thing. They take that stuff seriously in Ireland. Like all the kids, when they graduate out of O Menudo, they have to actually leap through a portal that disintegrates them.
Oh, no. Why would someone sign up for that life?
Because, I mean, you have there's a brief, period where you're making a lot of money. You're famous. Your girls are falling all over you. And then you just have to jump through the disintegration portal.
I don't know. I mean, I've always wanted the things you describe, but I've also wanted to live past 16.
Yeah, well, some people have different priorities. And it's better to live fast, die incredibly young, and leave a very, good-looking, hedonistically satisfied corpse.
I guess so, because I, as I assume all parents do, I got a form in the mail, of course, for when you have a male child. To asking if they want to join O Menudo. So I said, well, sure, I'm happy to offer my boy up to become a famous pop singer. Maybe that's my retirement fund. I feel like maybe now that was not the right decision.
It wasn't, for a couple of reasons. One is O Menudo is only open to Irish citizens of the Republic of Ireland, the 26 counties in the South.
Okay.
So he's not qualified. So the good news is he won't have to, when he turns 16, jump through a disintegration sphere or portal. But the bad news is you falsified his nationality in applying, which is a capital crime in Ireland. Once again, they don't mess around. You think they're all fun and Guinness, but they're a bitter and brutal people.
I mean, I was wondering why, we came home the other day after the power came back on, and it looked as if our house had been ransacked.
Was there like a green shamrock painted over your door?
Yeah, there was.
Yep. There you go.
What does that mean? What is that telling other people?
This is the target.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, at least you have electricity.
See, that's the good news. You're something of an expert. You run a website, beattheblackout.com.
Yeah.
So what are some of your tips? I wish I had asked you this before. Like, what are some tried and true things for the next blackout that people should know? Because I think this is on everyone's mind.
Well,
at least in the East Coast.
Yeah, the site's called Beat the Blackout. I bought the domain from a retired Klansman. And so I thought, I want to do something that can, when there's a blackout, you can just log on to it and see how you can defeat the blackout.
Oh, that's smart.
So, you know, let's say your power goes out, right? Your house is pitch black, but you go, you find your laptop, you open it up and you log in to beattheblackout.com. Then it's going to give you some helpful tips. You want to do things that generate light. What generates light? Gasoline.
Fire. Gasoline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, pots of gasoline will generate fire, and the gasoline will now spread all over the living room. Now you've got tons of light.
Okay.
But also tons of heat and smoke and damage.
So is there any other advice for people in blackouts? Like, what do you do, you know, when it's really hot out and it's, you know, you have no air conditioning? How do you get to sleep?
Well, that's it. I mean, that's one of the toughest things about blackouts. So when you're in extreme weather, like extreme cold or extreme heat, and you rely on electricity. So what we do suggest in the summer is if it's a nighttime and it's blacked out, the house is very hot, you go to the refrigerator freezer and you open up the freezer and you just kind of lay sheets and towels and things on the floor next to the freezer.
Okay.
And then get in your car and find a hotel.
So, hey, Brian.
Yes, Jack.
So is it true? Like, I don't want to toot your horn for you, but is it true that you've been in Russia for the last few months?
Da.
Ah, I knew it.
Yeah.
So you've been working on the new vaccine for COVID, right?
That is correct. They called me.
Yep. Tell us all about it. This is great news. So, I mean, I know Russia, some people think they've rushed the vaccine into production and to.
You know what I say to those people? You know what I say to those idiots?
What do you say to them?
Where do you think Russia comes from?
Oh, that's smart.
Thank you.
What did you come up with that, or was that given to you?
That was given to me in a meeting we had beforehand.
What was the meeting like? So tell us what it's like inside a Russian meeting to discuss curing COVID.
Well, okay. So what happened was President for Life Putin decided it would be great for Russia's national esteem if they produced a vaccine for COVID.
Okay.
And they have a ton of doctors and scientists and medical folks sitting around who had previously been tasked with creating a dope for all the athletes. They were laid off. They've been sitting around with nothing to do. So he turned to them and said, listen, I know you guys like to do things to help people. This time, instead of helping Russian athletes win sporting events, what if you helped Russian citizens not die from COVID? And they, of course, said, da, 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 which translate to yeah in English. And so they've been building they've been working on a vaccine for COVID-19.
Now, did everybody say yes, or was there sort of like the one straggler who was being a contrarian to President for Life Putin?
There were a couple of people who were skeptical at the idea, who used quote unquote, you know, medical words to suggest that a vaccine wasn't feasible this quickly, that there needs to be a lot of testing done, that, you know, they don't have necessarily the ability to create a vaccine so quickly. And, you know, they had a point, but they had a point.
What happened to their point?
The point was buried.
deeper than inside them?
Yes.
Where was this point buried?
Somewhere in the Russian Northeast, beautiful pines, cold temperatures, a lot of space, a lot of land, a lot of land up there.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'd love to talk to them. Is there any way you can give me their contact info?
You know, that's what the family's been saying for weeks now. Swear to God, it's like a broken record.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to, you know, last thing I want to be is cliche. I'm sorry if you're hearing a lot of that.
Yeah, you know, you get that. I get it. You know, you love your husband, you love your daughter, your son, whatever, and suddenly they make a bad mistake and they go bye-bye town. And yeah, I want to see them. I want to talk to them.
Is bye-bye town a town in Russia?
Yeah, it's next to Novosibirsk.
Oh, okay. They're pronounced so differently.
Yeah. I mean, bye-bye town is really the only anglicized town name in Siberia. But Novosibirsk is, you know, kind of that's the hip town where everybody goes to freeze.
How do you get test subjects? You know, is it a base of volunteers?
It's volunteers.
Do you pay people? Oh, it's volunteers.
Volunteers. They're unpaid. Okay. They're doing it primarily because they voted for the opposition party. And that qualifies them to become a volunteer.
Oh.
We relocate them to the volunteer facility. We provide it with free housing and board as a gesture. Nice. It's a gesture of goodwill from the president for life, Putin. And the Russian people. That shows that we don't hate traitors. We just want them to think differently.
I think it's high class. I hear that and I'm really impressed with President for Life Putin. So what happens, Brian, when a normal healthy person trying to avoid COVID takes your vaccine?
Well, then they are hopefully vaccinated against COVID.
Are there any side effects that people need to, like, you know, in your trial? I assume you did clinical trials.
Wow.
What sort of results did you guys get?
We didn't do that many clinical trials because we're trying to get this thing out to market as soon as possible.
Does this vaccine work? I mean, should I give it to my kids?
It should.
Where are you giving it to your kids?
It should work. That's the hope. Okay. You know, we're very optimistic. We're very positive thinking. We would love it to work. We think it should work. Based on our hopes, we're feeling very positive about it. There are still some aspects we want to work out, some bugs we would like to work out. 3% of people report stomach discomfort upon taking the vaccine.
Okay, that seems, yeah.
About 8% report like lightheadedness, dizziness, nausea after taking the vaccine.
Well, that's unfortunate. Yeah. Okay. Price you pay, I guess.
Yep. And about 82% report side effects of death. And, you know, and then there's a handful of people who seem to have no problem whatsoever.
Well, yeah. What was the one before the handful of people?
Before the hand, there's a 82% whose side effects are very similar to being not alive.
Now, hold on a second. It was just 80. I believe you just said it was 81%. Now it's up to 82%.
It was. I've got a real time stream here. It's 83% now.
Oh, wow. Those numbers are not encouraging.
That, you know, it fluctuates like the heart of people who take this vaccine. It's like up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it goes flat. It's just all over the place.
Wow. That sounds problematic. Yeah, I'm definitely not going to give that to my kids, I don't think.
Medicine's hard, Jack. It's not a perfect science.
Well, I would like to think it'd be a little bit closer to perfect than maybe where you've landed.
I wish. I wish.
Hey. Well, I mean, good luck. You know, maybe I'll stick with the American medicine and we'll see where things shake out.
We're going to have the vaccine first, Jack, just like we had the first man in space. Okay. Yuri Gagarin, Jack, we beat you. We didn't get to the moon. We killed a lot of people trying to get there. Doesn't matter. We win. You'll be sorry.
Brian, I thought you were just doing a little bit of medical research with the Russians.
I'm feeling very patriotic with them right now, Jack. They're taking care of me here. What?
Oh, are they? How are they treating you?
With prostitutes.
That's the best treatment of all.
Gorgeous Russian prostitutes, Jack. Beautiful women.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
It sounds really fun.
I'm having a great time. I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah. Does your wife know about this aspect of your payment?
She took the vaccine, Jack.
Oh, gosh, Brian, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Jack, guess what?
What, Brian?
I am, and this is a true story I want to share with you. I'm an investor in a pub in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this, actually. Yeah. Go on.
I'm excited, Jack. You know why?
Why?
Well, because I'm an investor in this pub in Brooklyn, and they've just announced an exciting new course of action they'll be taking.
Oh, that's great. It's good to see that a business that you have invested your real money in, and this is real. It's good to see that they're being active in terms of trying to turn a profit for you.
Oh, my goodness. So the email was titled Radical Times Call for Radical Change.
Oh.
So I kind of thought, okay, well, you know, obviously the shutdown has affected bars and restaurants dramatically. Maybe they're making some crazy changes to stay alive, to stay afloat.
Yeah. So serving wine outdoors and stuff like that.
Yes. So I got this email and they sent out this email saying they got some changes. It's called their equity action plan, Jack.
Cool.
And my favorite part is the second sentence. While we knowingly exist in a capitalist world, we are trying to take a more anti-capitalist approach to the way we do business. Isn't that just what you want to hear from a company you've loaned money to?
That's got to make you feel so good as an investor.
I am tickled. I'm absolutely tickled to be part of a business that's anti-capitalist. They weren't when they took my capital, but now apparently they're anti-capitalist, Jack.
Now, you specifically said you wanted to find a wine bar to invest in to affect social change, right?
No, I never stipulated social change, Jack. Just the wine bar to invest in part was the thing that got me.
So you were just looking to make money back.
I was hoping, yeah, this was the plan, was I give them money for 48 months and I take back 1.5 times my investment. That was the plan when they were capitalists. Okay. This second paragraph, effective today, we have eliminated tipping. Well, of course, that makes total sense.
Well, okay. Why would they eliminate tipping?
They tell me in the email, Jack.
Okay.
We could no longer turn a blind eye to the racist anti-worker roots of the practice, nor the evidence that tipping amplifies racial profiling and pay inequality, a.k.a. worker exploitation. They sound like Karl Marx. I invested in a wine bar that is now spouting Marxism.
Wait a minute. How is tipping, what do they say, racist what?
It's racist anti-worker. It amplifies racial profiling and pay inequality. First of all, what do they mean by racial profiling? How does that even amplify racial profiling? What are they talking about?
Is it because, and I'm asking this honestly, is it because they see like black people or Latino people as like, well, you're the kitchen staff and the busboys and the pretty white brunettes are the front of house and they make more money in tips?
Maybe.
Yeah.
And pay inequality. Yes. Some people get paid less than others. And, you know, when I was a waiter and I got fewer tips than the pretty blonde, or the chatty guy who everybody loved, you know, and I just had to deal with it.
Yeah. The cute chick is always going to make more money in tips.
Right. But it creates an unhealthy power dynamic that can and does lead to harassment.
Wow.
Yeah.
So my mind is so blown by this.
Oh, Mike, I mean, tell me about it. So I'm reading this. My jaws are already on the floor and they just keep going. It doesn't stop. So they acknowledge that many businesses have tried to eliminate tipping. Some have succeeded, others not so much. Yes, not so much. But we're more than willing to embrace this change because, frankly, it's the right thing to do. Is it really? Right now, your restaurant's been shut for 4 months. You're not making any money. Now's the time to embark on this new fiscal policy. But then it gets better.
No, there's more?
Oh, God, there's more. In addition to our new no tipping policy, we are taking on a radical experiment for the next 3 months. All members will be making a universal wage, meaning they will earn the same hourly rate of $25 per hour. So everybody's making the same buck. So waiter, $25 an hour, host, $25 an hour, chef, whatever. Everybody's making $25 an hour. All members will be guaranteed the hours they are scheduled to work with no cuts, no sending people home early. That to me is insane. Right. So if I've got two waiters on staff who are already now getting paid $25 an hour and it's a quiet evening and we don't have any customers, we got one table, I got to pay two waiters to stand around because I've now committed to guaranteeing them the hours they are scheduled to work.
I'm so blown away by this. I don't even know what to say.
Every sentence was like a slap in my face. All I kept thinking was like, they want to go out of business. They want to squander all the investor dollars that they got on this ridiculous ideological crusade. And so I went to their Instagram page. Bad idea.
Oh no.
Okay. So, you know, you'd think a wine bar, what would you imagine is on a wine bar's Instagram page? They serve wine and tapas.
Okay. Then I would guess, I don't know, pictures of two women kissing.
I wish.
I mean, that was my only idea. That's all the websites I go to have that. So I that was my first guess.
Well, it you know, you'd think a wine bar would have that serves tapas would have wine and tapas on there.
Yeah. Pictures of people enjoying the food, beauty shots of food, a fancy wine label.
Yeah.
The atmosphere with lots of people laughing with drinks in their hands, stuff like that.
Right. So, the most recent picture is their equity action plan. Part one, no tipping, universal wage, people first. And then some comments about tipping being racist, and all the stuff I just previously told you. The next photo, the wine world is an ecosystem built off of colonialism.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, okay. Can I just do one more?
Yeah, please.
July 4th, right? You want to this is a restaurant promotion on July 4th. So the Independence Day. So it's a quote from Howard Zinn about how crappy America is. And then the text, if you're celebrating, in quotes, this weekend, we hope you'll take a moment to reflect on what and who you're celebrating. It's important to know our history in America and to learn from it and maybe reconsider celebrating altogether as we have. Celebrating the history of a place that was founded on the genocide of indigenous peoples and built by black people who were enslaved, not to mention our own Asian ancestors, doesn't sit well. Have a great day, people. Enjoy your wine.
How many more months until you can get your money out?
I'm only 2 years in. I'll never get it back. They'll be out of business in short order.
What are some other companies that you've invested in?
Well, I mean, I've got Gotham typewriter cleaners. So what, you know, typewriters get dirty because you're dealing with physical ink.
Yeah.
You know, whether you have ribbons or whatever. So the typewriter heads get clogged and dirty over time. So what we do is you bring them to our storefront. We have a bricks and mortar place on Park Avenue. And you bring it into our location and we will take it. We have a service technician who's there around the clock. And he'll take a look at
24/7?
24/7. And he gets paid $25 an hour. And so does the doorman who opens the door for you as you walk in to our typewriter cleaning establishment.
Because those are two equal skills. They're equal skills. The ability to clean and repair a piece of instrumentation and opening a door.
It is about equity, Jack. That's right.
Cool.
And so then we take your typewriter and we will FedEx it to the Philippines. Where a staff of 15 of our people we're trained and housed in our complex there. We'll fix it for you. Clean it. You'll be stunned. You'll think it's a brand new typewriter.
That's fantastic. What's your complex like in the Philippines?
I mean, it's a standard gated complex for workers. We want to keep them safe so that we provide housing and dental. And we raise their children. We pay for their kids' school. There's a private school it's called the Gotham Typewriter School. They're taught there. Ironically, there are no typewriters in the school. It's all computers and tablets. But so we want to take care of our workers. It's part of our equity action plan.
Wow. It seems you're really taking care of these. How many people live in a typewriter village or whatever it's called?
Typewriter city. I mean, if you're including, the staffers, about 20 of them, their spouses. So that's 40. They have kids. So we're up to like 100. And then we allow the grandparents. There's a good number of, I'd say like 130.
Gosh, it seems like a lot to, and you provide meals.
Yep. And dental. Cause if you don't have good teeth, you can't eat our free food.
So how many customers would you say you get, per day in your store?
I mean, lately, obviously because of COVID, we're not seeing the kind of traffic we once saw.
Okay. But sort of in your heyday, like let's say back in January.
Oh, in the heyday, I mean, we had five
customers per day.
Fiscal year 2019. You know what? One was the same person. So two were like, he was a typewriter enthusiast. He collected them. So he had two. Andy Rooney was a customer, but he passed.
Oh, geez. I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah, me too. And then a couple of other, I'm not sure who they are, but they had typewriters that needed cleaning.
Wow. Well, geez. And how much do you charge for, I mean, hopefully it's an astronomical sum to help you offset these costs.
Well, I mean, we realized that people are not going to clean their typewriters if it's outrageously expensive.
Right.
So for, you know, we have a whole rate structure. The top tier is $59. And then, you know, the bargain tier is $14.99. It kind of really depends what you want from your typewriter cleaning.
Whew. And brick and mortar on Park Avenue in New York City, you say?
Yep.
Whew. That's gotta be expensive rent.
It's there. Very expensive. That's one of the reasons we're relocating to Fifth Avenue.
Well, it's good that you've learned some lessons.
Yeah. We just don't, we didn't need as much space as we have.
Okay.
So,
so what's the new square footage of the space you're moving into?
About 4,800.
Wow. That seems big.
It is big. And from the street, I mean, it's funny because you'll see people gathering in the window. And it's, we thought they were just excited and getting ready to come in, but it turned out they thought it was an art project because it was just a big empty room with a man sitting at a desk in the center of it and then a doorman. And they thought it was some kind of art installation.
Oh, wow.
Like performance art.
So did those people pay you any money?
No. And they actually blocked a couple of people with typewriters from entering the place with all their gawking.
No, no kidding. You lost customer. You lost typewriter customers within that?
Apparently, yeah.
Gosh, that's got to sting.
You know, we got angry emails and negative Yelp reviews. It's terrible.
Wow. Well, Brian, that seems, I don't know, maybe call me next time before you invest money. It seems like you don't make good choices, buddy.
I don't. I clearly don't.
I just had a girl walk into my room again. What? You have big, just tell me.
I have big news.
What's your big news?
I know how to play a song on the piano.
You know how to play a song on the piano?
Yeah, Jack taught me.
That's awesome. But remember, yay. I can't wait to hear when I'm off the podcast.
Me and Jack are going to do a duet.
You're going to do a duet?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Okay, say hi to Uncle Brian and then go.
Hi, dumb Brian.
Oh, hello, silly poopy person. And you wouldn't have learned piano if you were playing screens. So there.
You are a huge stinker. You are a dummy, a stinker, and I do not care if you're crying. Thanks. So stupid.
Eden.
What? Seems appropriate.
Yeah, okay. All right, close the door. Thanks for interrupting with that news. Brad, are you okay, man?
It's hurtful. Fuck. Mean. Oh, I thought I'd outgrown this.
I'm really sorry, man. Gosh, you are really.
It's okay.
Your eyes.
I can be so strong.
And red.
I'll bounce back. I'll bounce back.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, I know I am. Whatever. Stop giving me grief.
Fine. I apologize for my behavior. Are you following the news? Have you heard about this?
Yes.
This Kamala Harris thing?
Yeah. Kamala Harris. Yes. She's in the news.
She's in the news because she's going to be a vice president to Joe Biden.
Yep.
If Mr. Biden were to win the election.
That is correct. She is now, she's been picked up as the VP candidate for Joe Biden. She has a career. She's a senator. She was a district attorney or a prosecutor and a Willie State Brown's mistress. Yeah, all sorts of things. She's got an illustrious career.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic.
She's kind of like a comp.
Kind of like a cop.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
She's kind of like a cop kind of person. She put a lot of guys in jail for drugs, for pot and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That should go over well.
No, that's definitely going to make the Bernie Sanders people happy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, you know, of course, she was running for president.
She was. She tried. Yeah, kind of flamed out early on.
Yep. And not a lot of people very excited about her.
Yeah.
But now Joe Biden has picked her to be his vice presidential nominee. You know, a lot of people think she's very ambitious.
She is. Some people, yeah, very. Yeah.
Which is a lovely thing. But some people in the Biden campaign were a little bit worried about having her be the pick because they feel that she will immediately begin running for president the second she's nominated or the second she's in office as VP. She will immediately be campaigning for 2024.
Okay.
So anyway, that's just an interesting thing. And you know what? Yeah. I have booked for us the perfect guest to discuss this. I have the head of the Kamala Harris for vice president campaign. Yeah, I don't know if it's the committee or whatever, but it's her campaign manager.
No kidding.
His name's Bill Stevens.
Bill Stevens.
Bill Stevens. And so I booked him. Do you want to talk to him?
I would absolutely love to talk to him. I'll let you lead in with the questions, but the.
What?
Oh,
okay.
It's the ice cream man, Jack.
What?
The ice cream truck. The ice cream truck is here.
Oh, well, okay. So we'll just wait until it passes by?
No, I got to get ice cream, Jack. It's the summer. Today was a crazy heat wave kind of day. If there's anybody on this planet who deserves ice cream right now, it's me. And I know I'm letting you down. I know you want to do this interview, but I need ice cream. I got to go.
But also be careful. The Mr. Softy murderer is still out there.
I'm not concerned about that, Jack. I want ice cream.
Okay, just be careful. They said a lot of murders in your area have been linked to ice cream trucks.
Just for vanilla?
No! Ryan? Oh, jeez. If that isn't just my luck, I got to do another one of these things all alone. Doggone it all. Well, maybe we'll start a Kickstarter for Brian's family. I'll handle the wife and maybe you guys can donate something to the kids. Anyway, whatever. Bill Stevens, campaign manager for Kamala Harris. Are you on the phone, Bill?
Hi, Jack. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Bill?
Well, obviously, we're very, very happy. President Harris has been nominated, and we are excited beyond belief, of course.
Yes, Vice President elect, or the next Vice President nominee, Kamala Harris.
Exactly. That one and only Kamala Harris. We're very excited for her to be president. We are looking forward to spending the next 90 days working tirelessly to make sure that she achieves her goal.
Of electing Joe Biden, the 46th president of the United States.
Sure.
Well, hold on a minute. What are you playing at here? Because it's twice now in a minute and a half, you've called Kamala Harris the president, or that she's running for president. She is not, in fact.
You're absolutely correct, Jack. You're absolutely correct. She is the vice presidential nominee for, of course, President Joe Biden. It's just we're trying to gear up for the realities.
Oh, what do you mean the realities?
Well, I mean, we don't want to badmouth the vice president because Mr. Biden is a lovely man. He is warm-hearted. He can remember many words. He says things. He'll talk to you for a long period of time. And even though you don't know what he's trying to say, you still appreciate the fact that he's so determined. And I think Kamala is very eager to be part of that, to work with him, to help him see the light.
What is that? See the light. That's a strange turn of phrase. What do you mean by that?
We are more than excited for Kamala to work with Joe. She calls him Joe. He calls her florist. He thinks she's a florist. It's funny. And we're very excited, you know, for them to really get their message out there for America, because we need to save America from another Trump presidency. We think it would be disastrous. We think President Harris would be a phenomenal choice to really help fix all the damage that's been done in the last 4 years of this presidency.
Sure. President Biden, though, right?
Well, we hope he's president. Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole goal. We're going to get America. We're going to convince America that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the people they need to elect to fix this country. And only a President Harris is going to be able to repair the damage that's been done. Because if you allow President Trump another 4 years, you are going to live in a world, I don't even want to live in that world. In fact, I'd probably kill myself and my family, just like Goebbels.
Wow, that took a darker turn than I think it needed to. You kill yourself, that's fine, but maybe leave your family out of it.
Well, you know, I don't want them to live in a world without national socialism.
I don't mean to laugh. Sorry, I was reading a Ziggy cartoon.
Well, I know you weren't reading a Garfield cartoon because he would have been dead silent.
Oh, shots fired. What did Jim Davis ever do to you?
He raped me in a outhouse.
Garfield cartoonist Jim Davis raped you
in an outhouse. In an outhouse.
An outhouse.
It's a beautiful country morning. Could hear the birds chirping. It was cool weather, and I was in there reading my copy of Mad Magazine. And before you know it, there's Garfield cartoonist Jim Davis raping me.
This is not how I expected things to go. I got to do a better job of pre-interviewing the candidates. This is really jarring.
But I don't want to go off on a tangent, Jack. I want to talk about Kamala Harris, because as president, she has at least 4 years to fix all the damage that's been done by this presidency.
Okay. You keep saying president. So is there some sort of, you keep saying President Harris, is there some sort of plan in place where Kamala Harris takes over for Mr. Biden upon election?
Listen, we have to be prepared for all scenarios. So I'm just saying things can happen. Older people, they can trip, they can fall down the stairs, or maybe in the middle of the night, they wander out into the Rose Garden. It's in January. They've just been inaugurated. It's very, very cold outside, and they wander into the Rose Garden, and the Secret Service have been given the night off, so they're not there to help. And the next thing you know, you have a frozen president in the Rose Garden. So what do you do? Well, obviously, you make the vice president president, and that would be President Kamala Harris.
Man. The stark amount of detail. That almost seems like a plan.
When you say stark, I mean, was it like not an incriminating amount of detail, just hypotheses, right? I'm just kind of spitballing.
Well, I don't know. You could have just said, if Mr. Biden passes away, we're ready to step up to the plate. That seemed like, I don't know, like a Jesse Smollett type of situation.
Well, as you know, Jesse Smollett is a very bad man. And that tweet circulating about Kamala praising him and saying that he's innocent, that is a lie and it's fake news.
Well, I mean, it's not a lie. That was a tweet that happened. That was the thing that happened.
Actually, no. What happened is the hackers broke into her Twitter and posted that tweet. We've asked the FBI, once they're done with Joy Reid, to investigate this particular incident of hacking.
Okay. Well, I don't want to interfere with an ongoing investigation, so I guess we'll move on.
Yes.
Okay. What should be the plan? You know, how is Vice President Biden? How is his health? And how is he? How have communications been with Ms. Harris?
Well, I mean, obviously they're best of friends. They talk all the time. They're very, you know, he loves to listen to her and her ideas. She's got brilliant ideas. He's constantly saying, "Oh boy, I wish I'd thought of that." As far as his health goes, he's in perfect, perfect health. But as you know, at that age, anything can happen. And somebody can look healthy one day. They can give a presidential address, maybe their inaugural address. And then minutes later, they could succumb to any number of things. You just never know at that age. You just need to be prepared for it to happen and accept that these kind of things are just random and they will happen. But that when they do, Kamala Harris, as vice president, is willing to step forward and become the president of the United States.
Okay. What, you know, you said they talk a lot. What do they talk about?
Well, she's obviously very concerned about his health, wants to make sure he can hold out until inauguration, that kind of thing. She wants to know what memories he has, food allergies that he has, various things that might scare him. Is he easily scared if somebody jumps out from, you know, behind something in the West Wing and shouts like, hoogala, you know, would that frighten him? And might that trigger any kind of episode? Certain things like that. She's trying to determine, she wants to know the details of who she's going to be working with for at least a couple of months and wants to know, how best they can work together.
Now, it's funny because I did see a report that she asked to see a copy of his medical records, which seems sort of like a reverse. Why would a vice presidential nominee need to see the presidential nominee's, health records, medical records?
Well, Kamala learned this early on in politics. When you're getting in bed with somebody, you need to know their health profile, what they're going to be like, maybe they have mood swings, what kind of medicines they're on, what happens if those medicines suddenly disappear or replaced with sugar pills in the White House medicine cabinet. There are multiple reasons why she would want to know that. It's completely normal.
Now, I'm confused because it seems that you're kind of on a murdery type of path here. I'm going to say what everyone's thinking. And what I would say to you, sir, is that necessary given the fact that every day when I open my eyes, I immediately check my phone to see if Joe Biden has died?
Well, I'm sorry if I gave you that impression that we're, in a murdery atmosphere or anticipating the demise of a President Biden. Of course, I don't want to give that kind of feeling. Obviously, that's not in my best interests. I don't want people to be worried about him. I just want them to understand that anything could happen at any minute. That's what happens when you're in that advanced age. Kamala Harris will be there to pick up the pieces, whether it's pieces of Joe Biden who's fallen down the stairs in the White House in the middle of the night in a bathrobe, or pieces of whatever fell on Joe Biden from the White House bedroom. Things fall off the wall all the time. You have to anticipate that. It's an old building. It's from the 1800s. You never know if a big mirror that hangs over the bed could just be loose and fall forward and crush an old man's head. You just don't know. I want people to be prepared, and I want them to understand that Kamala Harris will be there.
Wow. Okay. Thank you for that information. What is it that Ms. Harris is most excited about thinking about a Biden presidency? What does she feel that Mr. Biden is going to bring to this country that no one else can?
Well, I mean, she sees a guy who cares very deeply about this country and has been in politics for a long, 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 long time, and is very caring. You can see in the way he's taken care of his brother and his sons and rewarded them and given them jobs and things that you'd normally be like, well, why would you have that job? That seems strange. Oh, your dad's the vice president. I get it. And, she sees a man who loves America and a man who loves America so much that his heart just could explode at any minute. And there'd be no reason to perform an autopsy if that were to happen. I mean, you don't need to be looking for thallium or anything. These things happen. People can love countries so much that they die on the job days after inauguration. It happens all the time.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. But it's, again, this seems just to be so much blacker than I thought it would be.
Well, she is the first African-American vice presidential candidate and a woman.
And she's got some Asian in there as well.
She does. Yes. Her mother is from India.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, well, I was hoping that it would be a minority like her or Elizabeth Warren.
Exactly. And that's the thing. We really needed either a Native American or an African American Indian woman. And I think we really hit the mother lode. And I think when we get our first African-American /Indian/female president, America's going to go, wow.
That's just wow?
Yeah, we haven't anticipated what else they'll say because nobody really knows much about Kamala. Mm-hmm. She hasn't done a lot in Congress, to be honest. I mean, she's been in the Senate for 4 years and not a lot's happened. But it's been a slow few years. That's why.
Sure. Of course. Well, so how does Ms. Harris feel? She was pretty tough on crime as a California's district attorney.
Sure.
How does she feel about the defund the police movement? Because certainly I think that is something President Trump is going to be leaning in pretty heavily towards, accusing Joe Biden of being fairly extremely left. whether that's true or not.
Well, he's obviously going to take that tack, but I think Kamala's credentials are phenomenal. She has a law and order background. She's put plenty of people in jail. She knows she can read criminals. She knows how criminals operate. She knows, you know, that they can sneak into an old man's bedroom and smother him with a pillow and it looks like he dies in his sleep. She knows these things. And, you know, she knows that, you know, these guys, you know, they're constantly going to the bathroom at night. The prostate's not so good. They have to pee all the time. So, you know, she knows that sometimes criminals hide behind the White House bathroom door and wait for somebody to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And that's when the shower rod accidentally falls and crushes their skull. These things happen all the time.
No, of course. I'm glad you're preparing America for all of these situations. I think you're doing quite a service.
Thank you.
And I thank you for it. No, thank you. I'm a little curious as to, you know, some people question whether the vice president is Biden is, quote, all the way there. Yeah. You know, that maybe his mental capabilities are not as sharp as they once were. I just want to confirm that Joe Biden meant to nominate your candidate.
We absolutely know this. He called Kamala to his, what he thought was his office.
Okay.
And so Kamala met him and it was a strawberry patch. And, you know, he was convinced that that was his office. And Kamala knows how to play the game. She knows how to work with people. She's a people person, always has been. So she said, yes, right, of course, this is your office. And what do you want? And so they talked and he asked her various things about foreign affairs. He said, you know, what would you do if Mordor attacked us? And she said, oh, I'd be very upset and I'd throw hobbits at them. And he really liked her foreign policy positions. And he said, I'd like you to be my vice presidential candidate. And she said, sir, this is the greatest honor of my life. And he said something like, thank you, Brenda, which, you know, was probably a Sanskrit word for, you know, my choice. And,
oh, that's beautiful.
And she was very, very happy about that.
Well, gosh, you know, well, thank you so much for being here and good luck to yourself, to Ms. Harris, and to Vice President Biden.
Thank you very much for having us, Jack. I just want to remind everybody to vote for President Harris when they get the chance. Don't assume other people are going to vote multiple times on your behalf. You really got to get out there and vote for yourself.
And vote as many times as you can. Is that right?
Vote early and vote often. Yes.
Okay. That's American Idol rules.
Thank you. That was questionable material. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to review the podcast. Make sure to visit qmpodcast.com.